Well, you must have seen there who is the Jew in terms of the Romans 2, verse 17, and Apostle Paul was dealing with this issue of Jews and Gentiles, and of course, being a Jew in our today world is not. It's not easy because of the Holocaust and also anti-Semitism in many parts of the world. But in biblical times, being a Jew was something honorable, was something great, was amazing, because they were the people who who walked with God. They were the people who were given the commandments. They were the people who were given the status and the word of God. They were the people who parted, who went through the Red Sea. So for them to be a Jew, that means really being a human, you know, being a true human being, because you are walking with your Creator. It's something you cannot be ashamed with. Unlike other people who boast about who they are, like my Nui people, they call themselves people of the people. They're Nui Ramran. Ramran means a real person, a true person. Well, I doubt this, because even today, in this text, Paul will also challenge the Jews. Paul will challenge the Jews. And I think if we can think of Paul himself, he was also proud to be a Jew, only to be superseded by the work of Christ that is going to really be revealed as he speaks to the Jews in this context. So what is the issue here? Why Paul was written this passage? What was the issue there? Why Paul really challenged the people he wrote to in this text? And perhaps we will have lesson for us today if we are to replace the in the place of the Jews, and if we call ourselves Christians, the true Jew. Maybe some people think like the church replaces the all Israel, which is not true, but is a big theological issue. But the Jews pride themselves on the law. You see that in verse 27, isn't it? The one who is not circumcised physically and yet obeys the law will condemn you, who, even though you have the written code and circumcision, are lawbreakers. So these people, they have the laws and the circumcisions. The law was given to them, and then as the substance of the covenant, and then the circumcision was a sign. Well, before we go any further, Paul already had warned the Jews and told them that Jews as well as Gentiles are sinners, and that their Jewishness gives them no privilege over Gentiles on the day of judgment. That was what in chapter 2, when he said to them, chapter 2, 1 to 16, that was the issue there. You therefore have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else. For at whatever point you judge the other, you are condemning yourself. And then in verse 11, he says, for God does not show favoritism. You see, so he told them already that God shows no favoritism. The point tonight is teaching the law and having the physical circumcision will mount to or for nothing, if I can get my prepositions right. I understand them only in Hebrew or Arabic or Greek. In English, it's very difficult. So Paul is saying, teaching the law and having the physical circumcision will mount to nothing or for nothing on the judgment day. That is what he's saying here. He says, now you, if you call yourself a Jew, if you rely on the law and brag about your relationship to God, And then he went on to say, if you know his will and approve of what is superior, because you are instructed by the law. If you are convinced that you are a guide for the blind, a light for those who are in the darkness, and an instructor of the foolish, and a teacher of infants, because you have in the laws the embodiments of knowledge and truth, you then who teach others, do you not teach yourself? You see, if you claim to be a Jew, and you don't really apply the truth, the law, to your heart, it's nothing. God will not look into that. These are the claims I have just read to you. There are people who rely on the law of God and boast in God. That is verse 17. They just do that. They know God's will. They know all these things. They have the privilege of knowing all these beautiful things that God has given them. And Paul will go on to say, to accuse them of hypocrisy. He alluded to in verse 9 and 10. He said to them in verse 9 and 10 of chapter 2, there will be trouble and distress for every human being who does evil, first for the Jew, then for the Gentiles. But glory, honor, and peace for everyone who does good, first for the Jew, then for the Gentiles. That God will look into the persons who applies the word of God, regardless of whether he was a Jew, he was the part of the covenant people, or not. But the Jew themselves, if they do it first, well and good. Because they were the very people who were called to obedience. They were the people to enjoy the first blessings, the blessings of the covenant. They were the people who were to enjoy that. And but the Paul says, but if others, even if not the Jews, they if they obey the word of God, if they apply the word of God, and then they are even far better than the Jews themselves. Well, if I have to go through explanation to explain what he means by all these things, but these things are self-explanatory, because these people, the people of God here, the Paul addressing, they know the will, because they're the will of God, and because the Bible reveals that to them, the Word of God reveals that to them, and they approve of what is superior. Because the law tells them that they were called to abstain from idols. They were called to come out of other nations. But themselves, here Paul says, you are not applying the word. You have failed. You have failed to be the people God wants to be. The true Jew is the one who keeps the law from the heart, not the one who uses it to pass judgment on other or others. Even right judgment based on the word of God, possessing it or teaching it to others, will not bring praise from God. That is what Paul is saying. Now he is pointing to their failure to be a blessing to the nations around them. Their failure to fulfill their calling to be a light to the Gentiles. That is what he says here in verse 10, verse 19. If you are convinced that you are a guide for the blind, a light for those who are in the dark. That was their prime calling. They were called to be a people who shines the light of God as righteous people. called out and brought into a relationship, and the Spirit of God comes at times upon them, God fighting their battles and destroying their enemies. Isaiah 60 tells us how these people were called to be the light, to be a light to the people around them. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and you are going to be the light of this deep darkness. And thick darkness is over the people, but the Lord rises upon you as people of God, and his glory appears over you. The glory of God appears over them. Just think of the prophets who were knowing, they were given the knowledge, knowing the movements of the enemies of God. Elijah, isn't it? So they were amazing people of God. God was communing with them. God was speaking to them through prophets. God was fighting them. God was raising up mighty men of God among them. They were called to be a special people. Nation will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your dawn. And now these people, they failed. Paul was telling them they failed to be the light. And Paul is just bringing this argument because his opponents, the Jews, were trying to exalt themselves over Paul. And Paul could say to them, look, you have failed completely to be the true people of God. And you are only better off if you come to Christ, as we read in the Old Testament. God said there will come a time in Ezekiel 11. There will come a time I will change your heart, and the Holy Spirit will come and live upon in you. Even that was promised. That was going to be fulfilled only after the day of the Pentecost, as we have been hearing. Apostle Paul here says these people, they have failed completely. Only to expose their hypocrisy. Verse 20, very important in this. Verse 20. And an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of infants, because you have in the law the embodiments of knowledge and truth. They were given really enough grace to be able to live as God's people and not to fail. With all that, they failed to teach themselves, you see, how to walk closely with God. They failed completely. And perhaps for all of us who are sitting here tonight, it's an invitation for us not to fail to apply every single word that is written for us here, for us to instruct us and to teach us as God's people to be equipped to live in this world and to witness to the glory of God. And so this is an opportunity for us not to fail, and especially for us not to think that the world is not watching. That is what Paul will say. That God's name is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. Because of you. That's verse 24. That is what we heard yesterday, that the church has lost, the church has a stigma because of all the abuse that was inflicted on innocent people by some wicked leaders. And that is why a lot of people today, if you ask them to be a part of the church, oh, I don't want to be a part of something like that, you see. And if you conduct a survey today, this is what you will have. Because the church has failed to be truly a people who were called to apply the word of God in their lives. Because we have been given new life, and the Spirit of God is to help us to walk before God. And the Jews also, in verse 25, they were boasting about the circumcision, which was only a sign of the old covenant. And the law was the most important part of it. And actually, if you are circumcised and you are not keeping the laws, and then your circumcision is nothing. That is what Paul is saying. It's just someone claiming to be a Christian, and yet there is nothing that shows that they are Christians. You see, God doesn't want that. He wants us to know what he has given us and to live it out. To bless us first and then to bless others. Paul says, their circumcision has no value. You see, if you don't apply the law. But if you live in sin, the sign become nothing. That is what he's saying. It's just like some people, even the circumcisions, people think they interpret it as a law, as baptism. You see, so if I'm baptized and then I'm a Christian, so I'm going to heaven. It's just like these people. If you are circumcised and you are not applying the law, Paul says it's nothing. You are not a Jew. Verse 28 and 29, Paul has something to say to his opponents. He says to them, a man is not a Jew if he is only one outwardly. That is what he says. Nor is circumcision merely outward and physical. It was not meant just only to be a physical sign. It was meant to point to the fact that you have been part of the covenant and now with the obligation to see yourself as someone to walk before God. We read this in Matthew 9:3-9. John the Baptist called the people to repent and produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not think you can say to yourself, we have Abraham as our father. I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. He made that argument. And in John 8:33, the Jews were arguing with Christ, calling themselves as children of Abraham. And Jesus said, and they said, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been a slave of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free? Jesus here called them to repentance. Now, let me go back to say, what can we really apply if we are to apply these texts to ourselves today? Just like briefly, if we are to apply these texts to us today, we need to be guided by these questions. Can we rely on the fact that we have been born of God and we are not obedient to the calling of Christ in our lives? To be Christians, like we heard today, to be true and not to live as if we are not part of the new kingdom, the kingdom of God. And the signs of the new covenant is circumcision of the heart, our heart being changed, being made ready to repent, ready to acknowledge that we cannot live any longer in our previous ways. That is the most important part of our walk with God, the circumcision of our hearts. Our hearts are to be willing to follow Christ and to live as the children of the covenant. And only if we have our hearts changed and transformed that we can begin to apply the word of God. If we keep our hearts, we will continue to apply the word of God and we will be able to live as those whom Christ died for. Now, if you call yourself a Jew, if I call myself a Christian, I do not rely on the law and brag about my relationship to God without obeying what the Lord Jesus Christ has taught us. That's what we pray in the Lord's praise, isn't it? And let us pray the praise the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord, has taught us. Forgive us our sins as we have forgiven others. Have we really forgiven others? No, it's not like that. So this is really the heart of the matter. So that was the teaching of Jesus. He taught his disciple to pray like that. And I think we have come to test also his will. If you know his will and approve of what is superior, so what have we tested as superior as Christians? What have we tested, if I can ask? What have we tested? We have tested the fact that keeping of things, religions and traditions cannot save us. You see, all these things cannot save us. If you know his will and approve of what is superior, because you are instructed by the law, well, we have our hearts circumcised, our hearts changed, and we have the law of God not written on a written code, but written in our hearts, and we have access to apply the word of God. And we are called not just only to be instructors of those who are perishing, but also to teach ourselves this word day and night to walk before God. This morning, as I came to church, and I was struggling a little bit, and just really to be at rest, and you start to feel things, and then only God to come through and speak and say, "Well, look, we are in the kingdom, and we are to express our needs to God and to repent of our sins, and so that is the only way for us to know the blessings of the kingdom." Well, here for us to instruct others, we need to instruct ourselves lest we become hypocrites. And I think it's a very challenging thing. It's a very humbling thing. Because every time I'm conscious of, as I stand here to try to share with my brothers and sisters, I ask myself, do I apply what I'm sharing? Yesterday, we had really good times. The men who taught us were very honest people. You know, let me just say what really Ben said. Ben, he started our talk by morning devotion with his family. And he called all the people to be part of his family. They were sitting around the table. And he did it magnificently. He told us what he did with his family, or what he does always. And there was a man sitting there with him at the table. Later on, during question time, after the day, this man said, "I have a question. When I was sitting there, I felt totally a failure because I didn't have that privilege. In my family, my dad to teach us, to have devotion with us, or even I myself with my son who is older now, 25 or above, who thinks I know that God is real, but when I need him, I will grab him." So he felt, the man was feeling like really a total failure. And Ben really came back again and said, "Look, it's not just like Rosie as you think. All the time I feel as a total failure, filled with sins," and he was very honest, only to cry out for the mercy of God and his grace. These things were given to us, and God says he will help us to apply his word. But the things that he wants us to do, not to brag about our ability to do these things. You see, because this is what the Jews were trying. They were bragging. If you rely on the law and brag about your relationship to God. And I think this is what is dangerous here. We can boast about our relationship with God when we know that really we need to live on our knees. We need to be really living every day, every moment, by the grace of God, and crying out for the Holy Spirit to help us to do this. And it's only when we live in this way that we will have the blessings of God. He will come powerfully upon us. So these are the matters Paul was trying to address. Condemning the unrighteous people and possessing the law of Moses will not allow a Jew to escape God's judgment. That was what he said earlier from 1 to 16. And now he's saying, having the physical circumcision will mount for nothing or to nothing on the judgment day. That is 17 to 29. A man is not a Jew if he is only one outwardly, nor his circumcision merely outward and physical. No, a man is a Jew if he is one inwardly, if his heart is just crying for God, if he realizes that he needs to have the right relationship with his brothers and sisters. If you really be careful with this, you are the true Jew. If you are careful on how you relate to your brothers and sisters, that is wonderful. And to be wanting them to be blessed. So this is how you are applying the word inwardly. You are a Jew inwardly. When you think so much about, you are careful about your sexual purity as a child of God, you are the Jew, or you are a Jew. A true Christian, a true believer. If you humble yourself always, not to think as better than others, you are a Jew. Because that is the law. The law was written to teach these people to humble themselves. What is the Psalm says? You see? And Isaiah. What the Lord demands. And all the prophets. He who walks humbly before God and judge justly. So, here, Paul says, no, a man is a Jew inwardly. And circumcision is circumcision of the heart by the Spirit of God, not by anything. Not even just by being clever and having list of things you live by. Because the Jews there, they were living like that. They were righteous people, you know. That is why they were able to judge the other ones. But now they were warned, they were told, look, you need to be careful. Here, do not boast. Do not boast about a relationship with God when you are not keeping His word. Do not boast about the signs when you are neglecting what they were signifying. I got two questions for you tonight before we just go to the other part for a short time to just think carefully together about these things. The first question is this. What is the most important thing in your walk with God? As we have heard this text, what is the most important things in your walk with God? Well, I see here God wants us to be real, to be true, to be real. God wants us to be real. That is what really Paul was trying to tell these people. Be real. Be real. Second thing, if you find yourself at times being tempted to boast about your faith as a believer, and yet you know also that you have shortcomings, like all of us, we are not perfect, what do you do? I have said this already, I think the most important thing for us is to know that our salvation is complete. Christ has died for us, and He has called us to a relationship with Him. And if we obey His words, we will walk with Him, and we will have His Holy Spirit, number one. Number two, if we are tempted at times to think that we are unable even to live as the Lord would want us to live, so His grace is sufficient as well. So he knows that we are weak people and we are wanting to be true Jews or to be true Christians, but we need his help, because the circumcision is the circumcision of the heart by the Spirit. And it's the same Spirit that enables us to walk with God. Because to our surprise, if those who are not circumcised keep the law, those who are not Christians, if they do better than us, and then they will blaspheme against the name of our Lord. So we should aim at wanting to be really the people God has called us to be. If we are going to win souls, if we are going to be really appealing to the people outside there. That is what Paul here says. He says, if those who are not circumcised keep the law, the law's requirements, will they not be regarded as though they were circumcised? Just only to find out that really these people who are there, they may look better than us. And then they can blaspheme against the name of the Lord God. They blaspheme. Blaspheming person is not a believer, isn't it? They are not, but they seem to have, like they are doing everything right. That is what the world outside doing now today. They say, look, we are not abusing anyone. We are generous. We want all the refugees to come into the country. We want every person to have a fair go. It sounds good, isn't it? This appeal, say they are the most kindness. They are the outgoing, the welcoming, isn't it? As if they have fulfilled the laws of God, you see. And now they blaspheme against the name of God because we have failed to do these things ourselves. And then Paul is saying, no, we should be better. Those who have their heart transformed and those who have the feeling of the Holy Spirit. So there is no place for hypocrisy. And that is why some people pray for godly people to go into the governments and to live and to lead these nations in better ways. And even we can have a better immigration policy, like the immigration that the Howard's government had. So a lot of Christian people, he went all the way to refugee camp that was full of churches, praying people, and a lot of them came and they were praying for this country. And there are remnants. Many have fallen away. Yeah, so the refugee policy, Christian can have it also, isn't it? Well, Christian government. So yeah, Paul is saying this is very important for us to know this. It's very important. So let's just think about what we can become if we apply the word of God as God's people in this country. So we should have to do nothing with hypocrisy. If we are struggling, we are struggling, our God will come through. You see, he will come through. How many times we have struggled and God has made you? How many times we are unable to pray? So we don't want Paul to accuse us of hypocrisy. They teach others and would not teach themselves. They preach against stealing and yet they steal. People should not commit adultery. The church is full of things like that. Oh, we reject idols. And then he says, do you rob temples? Like, you see, you leave no opportunity to gather up really things that you love the most become idols. We have that. We dishonor God by breaking these things. God's name is being blasphemed among the Gentiles because of us.